2020-113, found on page 45.
Public Works is requesting to award the bid for repair parts for snowplows to Viking Civs for the Viking parts, HP Fairfield for Fisher parts, and Warwick Industrial Fasteners for the purchase of the plow hardware. I did have to disqualify one vendor. They did not submit the required list showing the percentage off, and the other vendor was significantly higher for the hardware.
So I have a lot of problems with this one as well. Christy, for the last 3 years, the Finance Committee has been requesting that, well, maybe not the last three years, but certainly the last couple years, with an agreement from Director Salitro, that when you went out for bid, whether it be on tires or parts for trucks or vehicles, etc., in this case here, automotive parts for snowplows, that you, the department, would be providing the vendors with a list of up to 20 to 25 of the most commonly used parts that the department uses. Correct?
It was my
Director Salicio, would you like to come answer the question then if Christy's not sure? Okay, fine.
It was my understanding that we asked the vendors for a sample list of parts provided with the list price percentage and net price of what they had to offer.
Director, I'm going to ask you to come to the mic now because you and this committee had an agreement on something. And
Go ahead. Matthew Salitro, Director of Public Works for the Department for the City of Warwick. We had an agreement that we would spec out the 25 most used parts. So what we've done is if the vendors were unable to do that, we said, okay, this is what we use. As far as plow parts, some of the more generic stuff, they supply us with it. They know that we use hoses, belts, and that, and so forth.
Director, with all due respect, that was never the intent. The intent in the agreement was that you would provide the vendors with a list of up to 25 of the most commonly used parts that you use. The vendors don't know specific, especially a new vendor. They have no clue what you use. They don't have a crystal ball and can figure out what is the parts that you're going to most commonly need or what was the parts that you most used last year. And that was the agreement. In this particular bid, what happened here is the department went out to vendors and said, and I don't have it verbatim, it is in the package. Basically, it said to provide us with the 20 most commonly used parts that you think we may need to replace, right?
Okay.
How could they do that? I reached out to a couple of vendors about this particular item and a couple of others, and that was the response. They said, so we don't have a crystal ball. We don't know what parts your department mostly uses. Another one said that they didn't bid because we don't know what parts it is that you're looking for. So we could list 20 parts that we think you may use. That doesn't mean that the next bidder or the bidder next door is going to be bidding on those same parts. So the whole concept behind this was for us to be able to get a list of the most commonly used parts. Because as you know, in the past, before Director Salitro came here and before Mayor Solomon was in the corner office, we would get bids that say we recommend this bidder because they're a 50% discount. And we assume it's a better deal than someone who's a 38% discount. And we went through this whole exercise. And we all agreed that wasn't the most favorable way to do it in getting the best deal for the taxpayers. And that was a really good thing. And we also agreed on this very council chambers that we would put out there, whether it be tires or auto parts or whatever it was, what is the most commonly used parts that your department uses. You know best about what you use, not vendors, especially not any new vendors who may be bidding. And that's not what I see happen here. What I see happen here is the onus was put into the vendor's hands to determine the parts, that we're most commonly using or not using, and then bid them from there. I mean, I think it's difficult to, if not impossible, to have vendors be able to anticipate or forecast what parts. But even more important is, similar to the previous bid, we're not comparing apples for apples. Somebody might be bidding on, giving you a list of a dozen or two dozen items that are all nickel dime stuff, and someone else might be bidding on something that is in the hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars. I think the only way that we're going to have a fair comparison as to who is giving us the best deal is with the respective department putting out, here's the list prices, and I'm sorry, here's the parts that we use, here's the tires that we put, just like you did for the tires. Because otherwise, we're not comparing apples for apples. It's not creating a competitive bid situation. And I don't believe that's what any of us wanted to do. So somewhere along the line, something changed. Here it is right here. So I knew I saw it in here. It said, a list of a minimum of 20 replacement parts that could potentially require replacement must be provided in a format similar to the following to allow for accurate bid award. That's like the vendor needing a crystal ball to determine what it is that the DPW department of the city of Warwick is going to need. I don't think it's fair, and it certainly isn't what we all agreed to.
Okay. Councilman, I could be missing something here, but we put that out because they are a snowplow parts dealer. They deal with municipalities. They know it's their business to know what we may or may not use. I'm not asking, and I'm not even comparing if you look on page 47 of 7 of 47, they have an 180171 lift CYR. I'm not comparing that. What I'm comparing is the percentage that we're going to have off at the end of the day. This would be from Viking. If you flip the page to the next page, we have Fisher, and this says Fisher Parts only. They had no problem coming up with the 20 recommended parts. If I was a plow parts dealer and somebody said, hey, what do you think you're going to use? I would throw this in, just knowing that's what it's commonly used. Maybe in retrospect, I should have given them 20 parts, but we have so many different parts for these snow plows. It'd be hard to pin it down. If I had all Fishers, I could give you 20 parts on a Fisher. If I have a Viking, if I have a Mears, a Snowcat, any of that. So it's kind of tough to, I understand where you're going with it, but it is tough to, if I had one plow, it'd be a no-brainer to give you get 20 parts on that one plow.
But Matt, you keep track of all the parts that you order, right?
Correct.
You have an inventory of the parts that come
Correct.
In, the parts that are sitting on the shelf, et
Right.
cetera. So in my opinion, there is no one who knows best what parts are most commonly used by the department than the department.
Correct.
Someone who bids maybe once a year on your stuff and perhaps doesn't get the bid, maybe does get the bid, or a company who has not bid on what you need, they don't have the knowledge of what your most commonly used parts are. So if we have a couple of vendors who are bidding on Fisher snow plows or Viking plows or whatever, they're picking their own parts. And what they're doing is they're picking parts and giving discounts on what they feel is necessary or what perhaps might be what they sell the most of, as opposed to what you as a department needs. Mm-hmm. And as I said again, this is different than what we've seen in the past. I was kind of taken back when I saw that the department has gone to a different direction and has not given the parts list for the vendors to bid on so that everybody is bidding on the same thing. Have these vendors that did bid on this, have they done business with the city in the past?
Yes, they have.
All of them?
I think...
Because I'm thinking at least one of them hasn't done business with the city in some time.
Personally, I wouldn't know that, but the Viking person, this would be a new vendor. He used to be W.H. Rose, who's been doing business with the city of Warwick since 1980. He supplies all our trucks, our plows, under a different name. Recently, he left there and joined Viking. So he is definitely aware of, you know, what we have since we bought most of the stuff from W.H. Rose over the years.
My position is that this isn't what we agreed to do, and I don't think it's in the best interest of the taxpayers to let the vendors make a determination as to what they think we're going to be using for parts, and then sit here and look at various items with various prices and various discounts when they're all different. They're not the same. This situation right here may be slightly different because, well, let me ask you the question. How many vendors bid on the Fisher plow?
We just had the one, right? Yeah, one.
Cap
City. I just wanted to verify
that. And how many vendors bid on the Pathfinder plow?
Pathfinder was... No one.
Do you have Pathfinder plows?
I think we have two.
Okay.
See, the problem is, again, like I stated
before...
Hold on,
before, I'm just kind of establishing a trend in my head.
Yeah, kind of mongrel-type plows.
Sorry?
We don't have, like, all Fisher and then three Vikings.
I understand. I'm getting to that.
So that's why I'm trying to...
I understand. I'm talking about this particular bid right now.
Right.
I've established already the basis for... at least the dialogue for what's occurred, and it's different than what we agreed on.
Right.
So we have we have Viking plows, we have Fisher plows, is that it? And are those essentially the two primary plows?
Primarily, yes. Yeah. There, like I said, again, there may be a couple mongrel plows in there left over from God knows when.
Did we have two bidders bidding on either the Fisher plow or the Viking plow?
The Fisher plow was just Cap City, as I just stated.
Okay.
And the Viking plow was, it's in front of me, so bear with me, it was J.C. Madigan.
But Madigan was disqualified because they did not provide
anything, yeah.
Any list price.
Right. And any list price and anything, any of the information that we required from the other ones.
Did you contact them to find out why?
I did not.
Okay.
Christy,
could you come to the mic, please? Had you contacted J.C. Madigan as to why they didn't provide that list price information?
I did not, no.
Okay. Had J.C. Madigan bid our business in the past? They did.
They don't actually typically.
To the mic, Christy.
Their pricing is usually a bit higher than the rest, so we used to award as a whole to multiple vendors, so they would get an award letter, but we always went with the lowest price. So typically, we didn't purchase from them.
Well, I know they did bid our stuff in the past, and obviously they didn't bid at this time. I did contact them. I had a conversation with other vendors as well, and that's why we're having this discussion tonight, because it comes back about the crystal ball. Now, I can't project or predict what pots it is that you're going to use most, or what are the pots that commonly break down here in the city of Warwick. So what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to provide you with? And that's where it comes, the apples and oranges. But having said that, I think, well, let me just make sure that going forward, we agree that you as the department head, you're going to provide the vendors with a list of 20 to 25 pots, as we agreed to in the past, of your most commonly used pots. So everybody is bidding on the same pot. We can see whatever the list price is and whatever the discounts are. So we can do the math up here. You can do the math in your own office and figure out who the best deal is. Do we agree with that?
I'm in total agreement. As I stated before, if I had all standardization of the parts, it would be super easy to do that. And as a rule, tire is a tire. I try and use the 25.
Matt, I'm not trying to make your job difficult. I'm not trying to be difficult.
A plow's a plow.
I know you're not. Yeah. A plow's a plow. There's only so many pots in a plow. I don't even know if there is 20 pots or 25 different components on a plow. I don't know. Maybe there is. But I'm certainly confident that you can come up with a list of the 20 or 25 most commonly used pots on a Viking, on a Fisher, on a Pathfinder, on a Root, and whatever these other snow plows are. And that's what the committee is looking for, because that's the only way we're going to be able to sit here and analyze ABC, 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 everybody has the same thing. And that's fair. And then I don't have vendors saying, I don't have a crystal ball, I don't know what you're looking for.
Okay.
Agreed?
Agreed.
Thank you. Okay. And based upon the fact that you have one Fisher plow, one Viking plow vendor, it becomes a non-issue with the list price, because it's all you got to work with. Any other questions from members of the committee?
I just have one quick one, Mr. Chairman. Matt, I got a question for you. I'm going through this price list, and I see that Lawson, they're willing to give us a 71% off on everything. How come they didn't make the final cut?
They're strictly for hardware. So in our recommendation, it's going to be for the Viking, the Fisher, and then for hardware.
Okay. I honestly thought they were just kind of making a joke of it, and I'm sorry to say, but where they put the smallest, like, 13-cent cotter pin and then did a 71% discount on that, and they didn't have anything, like, really, except for a couple items that were over a dollar. So I thought it was just like, okay, well then, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members, I'm sorry, from the committee, members of the council? Councilman Qualley.
This is just my own knowledge. I can't make heads or tails out of this, but I did see at the end that the city had recommended a different hardware other than Lawson, and seeing that they were discounting at 71%, I was just curious, are they the Rolls Royce of this product? They make them out of gold or something, because they were the most expensive according to your department's analysis, which doesn't make sense to me, and I would like to have some idea of what's going on.
I think that 71% comes in because we buy a lot from them. They stock all our fasteners, not only for snowplow parts, but we get a pretty good discount. We get excellent service from them.
Okay, I understand that, but when I was looking at the other percentages that the two companies gave us, one said 5, one said 10.
What was that last? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
I'm sorry. When I'm flipping through here, for Fairfield, they were using 5% percentage off, and for the one before that, it was 10% off for Viking. So I'm just curious how Lawson can compete with these other companies if their list price starts out so high that bringing it down 71%, it's still the most expensive product. Does that make sense?
Councilman, the Lawson and Warwick Industrial Fasteners only bid on the hardware portion. They did not bid on any of the Viking or the Fisher parts or anything like that. That's why it looks like it's very inexpensive. They're giving us a 71% discount on cotter pins, bolts, nuts, that kind of thing, not pumps and...
Okay. It is hard. I can't really read it the way that has been presented because we're not comparing, comparing apples with rabbits, you know. We're not even in the same.
So just for clarification, Councilman, so we went out to bid for the snowplow parts, okay, and then we found out that we had a Viking Fisher, and then we had the hardware to assemble all of everything. So that's when you see the smaller dollar amounts. That's for just the hardware. And that's where you see the greatest percentages come off. I wish that Viking would give us 71% off their parts and Cap City. That's just not going to happen. But that's where it's a smaller dollar amount. So, you know, if they buy it for 3 cents and they sell it to us for 21 cents, they still made good profit.
You mark something up 700%.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I'm not getting 71% off a $10,000, you know, 14-foot
plow.
Companies have to make
a living.
Yeah.
We just wanted to be competitive dealing with municipalities.
Right.
And this is outside of my bailiwick, and I will defer to your judgment and the judgment of the committee and try to learn a little bit more about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action. Second.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Director, and thank you, Christy. Item 2020-114, police breast hats, badges, found on page 53.
Good evening. Lori Michaelides on behalf of the police department. In August, the police department went out to bid for police badges, insignias, and collar brass. We received 7 bids from various vendors. We are recommending Woonsocket Badge be awarded this contract as the lowest overall bidder. We are requesting spending be authorized up to $7,500 for this award. Purchases will be made on an as-needed basis.
Thank you, Major. So is it safe to assume that we're talking of approximately 230 badges here?
No. This is for new hirees and any promotions that take place.
I understand. I'm looking at the average price of a badge at about $32 a piece.
Yes.
Dividing that into 7,500, mm-hmm. and I come up with 230 badges.
Yes.
So,
well,
I don't understand why we need 230 badges.
It's the nameplates as well, and the collar brass. All of those go packaged together. But,
mm-hmm.
For example, fiscal 18, we spent $4,500. It varies depending upon promotions or hiring. In fiscal 19, we spent $6,100. So the number does fluctuate. It's hard to tell what we're going to do. It also takes into account commendations, those pins as well.
a curiosity question. So badges and collar insignias and nameplates, et cetera, thinking from the military background, why aren't those items considered part of the uniform? When we allow, when we approve a uniform allowance, whether it be for the fire department, police department, et cetera, and same question could go to the fire department, why aren't those items, which are part of the uniform, why aren't they part of the uniform allowance that the city pays for?
The only reason I can come up with is maybe for a new hire that doesn't have that allowance yet, when we first take them on, they're given all their, you know, that equipment up front. Outside of that, I'm not sure.
And how many new hires are you anticipating for this year, if any?
Probably 15. We're right around 15 each year. And then, of course, the promotions that take place.
In addition,
the $30 figure is significantly less than what we've gotten in years past. So that's probably why.
It's just a huge number. And, you know, when I take an average $31 a badge and add in, you know, the other insignias, et cetera, even if you bring this up to $50 average, that's a lot more than what you could possibly bring on in a year. And this is a one-year bid. Okay, so tell me the history again of 30-262.
So fiscal 18, we spent $4,500. In fiscal 19, we spent $6,116.
Say those again, please.
I'm sorry. You know what? I'm giving you the contract year. So the contract is October to October, so it's flexing two fiscal years. That's the number I'm looking for. So fiscal 19, out of the 9,000 budgeted, there's only 7,500 for this particular item, but out of the 9,000 budgeted, we ended up spending 8,292. The numbers I was giving you reflected the one-year contract, October to October.
Right. And fiscal year 2018?
I don't have that figure with me.
And 2017?
I don't have that figure with me.
And this year, you have a budget of $9,000 again.
That's correct.
What else comes out of 30-262?
When the promotions occur and commendations, the officers are giving a paper award. That also comes out of that budget code.
A what, please?
That also comes out of that budget code. It's like a cardboard paper placard recognizing the promotion or getting hired.
A high quality paper material.
You're right, absolutely right.
Some numbers you have to justify, Major. Cardboard is cheap.
That was a poor choice of words on my part.
Sorry?
Poor choice of words on my part.
Okay, so you're looking for spending authority up to $7,500 for the committee's benefit, council's benefit, and member of the public. Here are your numbers. 2017. The actual spend was $8,614. That's out of 3,262. Consider that's beyond what is being asked for right here. In 2018, it was $5,360, and in 2019, it was $8,292. So, understanding that their complement is light right now, how many officers light?
169 right now. We're shooting for 175.
Okay. What's full complement?
Full complement's 175.
175.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Move for favorable action. Seconded.
We have a motion for favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Major. 2020-124 Connecticut Village Crossroads, found on page 57.
Good evening. Bill Facenti, Community Development. So I'm here before you tonight to ask for award of 2020-124, Kinnamick Cross, Village Crosswalks, Streetscapes and Public Space Improvements be awarded to Skirk Construction of West Warwick for not to exceed amount of $133,000. The office went out to bid. We, the purchasing department notified 21 vendors of the RFP. Five attended a pre-bid, mandatory pre-bid. Three respondents to the bid. The lowest bidder had to withdraw. They sent us a letter of withdrawal due to the fact that they messed up some of the pricing and they were not willing to honor the pricing. That left two vendors with, the bid was broken into three separate pots. One was the crosswalk and pedestrian safety improvements. Second pot was streetscape improvements and sidewalk repairs. The trees along West Shore Road and Connecticut Village are overgrowing. Some of them are diseased. The city has already removed some trees that were diseased and taking down power lines. Now there are some concrete sidewalk repairs that need to be made. In addition, there are additional trees that need to come down. The third pot is Donovan Park and other public space improvements along West Shore Road in the business district. The Connecticut Village Association was able to receive a grant from Commerce Corporation, the amount of $69,000. That requires a match. We're using the CDBG funds that were awarded to Connecticut back in 2015. They're no longer eligible to receive CDBG funds through their income. But those funds were committed to the Connecticut Village Association so we can continue to use those funds. The both vendors that we analyzed were both, if we took all three components of the bid, they both exceeded the maximum amount of money that we have available. We broke the bid into three separate pots. We are awarding pot number one, pot number three, and portions. We asked for unit pricing from each of the vendors, add deducts in case of a situation like this. We are awarding again pot one in full to Skirker, $35,000. Pot number item number three in full, $62,000. And then we are awarding unit pricing, removing of one lodge tree at the corner of Beach and West Shore Road. Installing new concrete
sidewalk. Excuse me, Bill, where is that in our...
It's in the bid memo. It's in the award memo,
I know it's in the bid memo. Where is it in our list of unit pricing?
I don't know what you have in front of you.
All right, just bear with me then,
sure,
so we can look for it. So you've identified one and two. The
excuse
third
me.
One is...
One and three. One is the pedestrian roadway improvements.
One and three. Sorry, got it.
Yep. So it's $35,000 in number.
And the next one is removal of what?
Removal of one lodge tree at the corner of Beach and West Shore Road and replace with a smaller birch tree, $1,500. We're also estimating installing new concrete sidewalk panels at the locations where the previous ones have been removed. There are 20 of those being put in at $300 each, $6,000. We're also asking tree removals with the stump grinding of small to mid-sized trees. There are 15 of those that have been identified that should come down. Those are $1,000 a piece, $15,000. And then the last is installing new trees at a unit cost of $900 a piece, 15 of those to replace the 15 that we're taking down, $13,500. That's $133,000. That does not complete all of the streetscape work that the association is needed. There are approximately 27 trees that need to come down. We can give them just about half based on our funds availability. So basically, Skirka was the lowest responsible bidder. If you take the next bidder and you take those items, those same items, their cost would be $170,500 for the same work based on their unit pricing.
I identified those other items. So there's a total of six items that you're identifying for $133,000, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And there may be some additional, we may add additional sidewalk panels, reduce the number of trees, so it's not to exceed, depending on what okay. the...
What I don't understand is on these bids, so let's stick with Skreka. So install new concrete sidewalk panels. It says add amount per unit, $300. Deduct yep. amount per unit, $275. What are they talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, so some bidders, they don't want to lose all their money when you remove things from the bid, so they leave a little bit of money in the bid. It's a game. If you look at the other bidder, they install for $1,000, and you can deduct $400 if you want to deduct one of the panels. So they're leaving $600 in the bid. So there's really
so they're keeping their profit.
Correct.
That's what it amounts
yes.
to. And yeah. in some cases, more than their profit.
Right. The only one that didn't do it, unfortunately, is the lowest bidder that withdrew.
Right.
So. I did reach out, as always, to the vendors. I emailed 21 of them. We received responses from five vendors. I know it says four in the bid memo, but I did receive another one. Reason for not bidding were three vendors stated they have too much work, too busy at this time of year. One doesn't have the manpower or ability to get a bond. And the last one, like Director Scott mentioned, felt the system of awarding bids worked against them. They are a small tree company that are highly certified with regards to trees, so, but they just can't bid against the larger construction companies. And one vendor, the one that can't get the bond, doesn't have the manpower, he also said that we shouldn't be spending any money.
Say that again?
He said we shouldn't be spending any money. So, those are the five vendors that I received responses from. Mostly I wanted to
that.
Reach out to the ones that went to the bid, to pre-bid. And those the ones that went to the pre-bid were the ones that too much work. So.
The funny thing about trees is the ones that we do not take down are the ones that end up costing us hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, they just took down a bunch on Warwick
exactly.
Ave. They fell across Warwick Ave the other day before school.
So, Bill, this is a grant.
Yeah, the $69,000 that's coming out of the 6442 is from the Rhode Island Commerce Corporation. This grant was originally awarded back in 2017 to put in stamped concrete crosswalks. That process failed miserably due to the fact that if the state of Rhode Island has a regulation that if you touch a crosswalk, improve it other than painting, you own the crosswalk and all components that access it. We don't have the money to repair all the pots that go into that crosswalk. So we went back and forth on using alternative technologies, stamping the existing asphalt. One vendor said that it was okay to be stamped. Then the DOT asked that same vendor, and they said, no, I never said that. So we went back and forth trying to get waivers, exemptions, just they weren't hearing it, so we decided to go scrap the concrete and go with just painting the crosswalks. It's a solid paint, not just hashtags. And that's a portion of it. And it's street closure, police details, traffic controls along West Shore Road. So
Bill, how did someone go about getting a grant like this?
So the association,
this area or any other
areas. Back in 2017, Rhode Island Commerce Corporation had a Main Street improvement grant. I think that was what it was called. The association, Connecticut Village Association, which is very active, reached out to the office and asked if we would support that grant and if we could use the CDBG funds to match it. And we said we would. So they had an interest due to the fact that the crosswalks at the post office, two of them at Beach Avenue and one at Transit Street, are not easily visible, and they can be a hazard at night, especially to pedestrians crossing the road. They wanted to improve those to look like they have here in Appanag. We supported the application. They awarded the grant to the city as a pass-through for the association for $69,000. The estimate that was received, that was provided to the DOT for the crosswalks was based on Appanock, and the costs were not, didn't cover the police details, the closure of the road. I don't know if you remember when they did the stamping of the concrete, those that area was closed for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. So they would have to do the same thing on West Shore Road. There'd be 24-hour police details.
So this grant, this is something that could be applied for all areas of the city, or?
It could have. Commerce Corporation has.
In the future?
No. Commerce Corporation has suspended this grant.
I see.
They're not awarding any grants. The city actually applied for a similar grant in Pontiac Village to use CDBG funds as a match. Mm-hmm. It was denied, and they didn't award any in that. It was last year.
Okay. So I think the bottom line here is that whether this committee or this council approves this or not, these repairs in this area are necessary. They're vital. They're an important part of what we do.
Yes, I feel
okay.
Like, yeah.
And now we can get it done with essentially a 50% discount, or
right.
In this case, a $69,000. One way or another, this work's got to be done. Whether it's done today or whether it's done next month or next year, it's got to be done.
Well, yeah, the pedestrian crosswalks need to be
correct.
Enhanced. The CDBG funds are
it.
Also
got
to match. So.
My point is that we can get it done now.
Absolutely.
With a $69,000 grant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. Any questions from members of the committee? Sir, Councilman McAllister.
Thank you. And again, as you mentioned, this is the Connecticut Village Association. They're the ones that worked with you with this grant. They're the people that live in this area. They know exactly what the needs are. They're citizens of Warwick, and they've supported this, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Bill, I do have one more question. In
sure.
The last page of your, or one of the last pages of your documents, it says the grant expiration is December 31st for completion. Is this a problem for you? Is this going to be...
I don't believe so. Like I said, this grant has been around since October 2017, and we keep getting extensions. We have in our bid that it needs to be done by December 31st.
And who is going to be doing it?
The work is going to be done by Skirka.
Skirka is going to be doing it all.
If you award it to Skirka, yes.
And if they're awarded.
Yes.
Is there any specific language in their contract that... Is time of the essence is of
yes.
the essence?
Yes.
And this is going to be completed by December 31st, 2019.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, two questions. If it is not, do we lose the grant? And if we lose the grant, who is responsible for the $69,000? Is it Skirka?
Well, we could ask the Commerce Corporation again to extend the grant if it's a month or two, as long as we show progress. They've expended it since 2017. This will be our third extension. They understand the process. So to answer your question, there's a performance bond and completion bond in this. So there is no language in for damages in our bid documents for damages.
So you say there's
a performance
and labor bond? Performance and labor bond?
Yes.
Okay. And you're saying in the contract that we will have, if they're whoever's awarded this, in the contract that the company gets to do this, it stipulates time is of the essence.
Correct. And there is the December 31st deadline is, I think we actually have December 15th or December 12th.
Okay. And that wording is in there.
Timing is of
the essence. Because that has significant legal remedies.
The language is specific to the completion date.
Okay.
It's specific to the date of that has to be completed by.
Okay.
So we have until December 31st. I think we gave them until December 4th or December 5th,
okay.
Something like that.
Patricia.
During the pre-bid, there was a lot of conversation about that, and Bill was very upfront with that. So the company was fully aware of it, and there wasn't any concern.
Yeah.
When you say at the pre-bid and there was any concern, when was the pre-bid?
It was in August. I have the bid documents.
Okay. So back,
it was
back in August.
Yeah.
There was no concern. We're talking a few weeks later, so
right.
It shouldn't be a game changer, right?
I spoke to Skirker about the bid as well.
Okay. Any other questions? Councilman Cawley.
On the very first page, on page 58, under item number 2, streetscape improvements, I'm looking at Skirker, and it says $156,000.
Correct. Yeah. So what we did, because of their, like I said, the bid was broken into three separate pots with an additional unit pricing at the end in case we ran into a problem where we didn't have enough money. We are awarding pots 1 and 3 in full. Pot one is the pedestrian crosswalks. Pot 3 is the street, the Donovan Park public area improvements. There's some work in Donovan Park, and there's two walls. One is, I believe, Flaherty Pocket Park, and then there's a wall at the Woodbury Union Church and Friends Way across Beach Avenue. Those are going to get some work done as well. Section 2 was the streetscape improvements. That's where the trees and the sidewalk panels come in. That was for the full install of all 27 trees and the removal of additional trees. We are not awarding that in full. We're awarding it in pots. And we are awarding these sections, the one large birch tree, 20 concrete panels, 15 removal of small trees, and 15 installation of trees as part of their unit pricing to get into our dollar amount. I don't know where he got his $156,000 from. I don't even think he knows, but that was written down. So
I don't know, and I don't know what he is going to be providing. I see that there's a number at the end that said it's not to exceed $133,000. Looking at the numbers,
We're taking,
I don't understand. I just don't understand, and I don't think it's explained very well as to what is going to be done on pages 59 and just page 59 explains what's going to be done, and there is no total. I don't have a calculator here to figure it out.
If you look at page 2 of my award memo, I don't know if you have that, it spells out where the $133,000 is coming from.
I see. No, I can see how that adds up to $133,000, but the balance of the package is confusing to be able to make the comparison to see if that is the best deal in my, you know, my review of it. But I didn't have the time to go over it that you must have had.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from members of the council?
Yes.
Council President.
Bill, a few years back we had a tree planting program at Barton Farm. I noticed you're spending $13,500 on trees. Mm-hmm. What's the status with the tree planting program there?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't believe it's in existence any longer. I don't know what the plan is for Barton Farm for the tree planting. It was, as far as my memory goes, managed by the landscape architect at the time, Margie Ryan, and Antoinette Simon, I believe was her name. Since then, I don't know if the trees have been replanted and taken out. I don't honestly know. It's not something I'm involved with. So the other portion that I didn't mention, the planning department was able to get some grant of trees. So that's what's going to make up the difference in the trees in the future from the Rhode Island Tree Council. So, honestly, Council President, I don't know what the answer to that question is.
I just think that's a great resource down there where I see these come up year after year after year. We're trying to beautify right. different areas of the city, and we have a 68-acre farm over there that I think they still have gardens, so people garden on that property.
Yeah, West Bay Community Action has a
yeah.
portion.
And you know, if we were to plant our own trees over there, we could harvest them when they're ready for next to nothing, you know?
I agree.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion.
Seconded.
We have a motion for favor. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
2019-072, service agreement for HVAC, found on page 64.
The department's requesting to pay some outstanding bills to Honeywell International Incorporated for the service agreement on the HVAC systems in city buildings. You'll find them attached in your package. The contract that we had allowed for 75 hours of technician time. The invoices that are attached exceeded the allotted hours, and we are responsible for the cost of replacement parts. These bills are from fiscal year 19 and will be charged to such and paid on a voucher from budget code 66340.
Thank you, Christy. So in your letter dated July 23rd, that is just coming to us now, you say that the department had an HVA service contract bid 2019-072. I don't know if I have seen, or at least I haven't seen, a copy of that contract in our bid package.
That was actually approved last calendar year, probably in April or May of 18.
Of what, please?
Of 18.
Of 18.
So it would have started, it would have ran, wait, am I wrong? Yes, it would have ran from July of 18 to June of 19.
Okay, but I guess my question is there a copy of that contract in here?
I'm not sure if it's in your package. I actually do have it here.
So in that contract, does it state what the hourly rate is that we're paying?
Yes, it's $184 an hour.
It's actually, according to my math, $183.90, but $184 does work out on another invoice. So we'll get to that section in a second. You're asking for a total of $3,916.55.
Yes.
One of my questions, I think you spoke to, but I couldn't hear it all. One of my questions was, how does this affect or change fiscal year 2019, being that this is a chargeback, or I assume will be a chargeback to fiscal year 2019? How does that work?
There was a balance of $19,387.32 in budget code 66340 at the end of fiscal year 19. So these, the 39,1655 would be charged to that code. These bills would be paid on a voucher, indicated that they were from fiscal year 19.
And that number you said of 19,000 change, that wasn't transferred?
No.
Before the end of the fiscal year last
no.
year? Okay. How much did you say the balance was in fiscal year 2019?
It was $19,387.32.
I'm sorry, 19,000?
387.32.
That's interesting, because according to this Munis report, at the end of fiscal year 2019, there was a balance, an available balance, of $30,871.86. And what you're saying is, according to your information, the balance is $19,387.33.
For the fiscal year. I know what you're saying, and I saw that as well. But if you...
So we have a difference of $11,100 difference between what the Munis report's showing and what your numbers have.
Right.